It is good to be with you, church, and I was reminded that my name is Steve, if you don't know me, and I'm not just the one who preaches, but I'm the pastor of Edgewater, and it's my joy to be able to walk with all of you as God calls you further, step by step, on this journey of faith. One of the words that Jesus gives us is, therefore, as you go, make disciples of all the nations. And if we want to be making disciples, because this is the job of the entire church and the church is made up of people, it means that we have to become disciples. To become disciples means that we have to work hard to do and be like Jesus. That's our theme this whole year, is discipleship. How do we become better disciples of Christ so that we can do what Christ has commanded us to do? Now, most people are called to go right where you are, as you are going in your life, and others are called away to other locations. Today is a special day because this is the last Sunday that Armando and Blanca Tam are with us, and it's not just a special weekend for you because I know on Friday you celebrated how many years? 44th wedding anniversary. Now, I know you may not be super comfortable with coming forward, but I want you to come forward, and I'm going to ask you two questions, and then we are going to take an opportunity to pray for you today. So if you can come on up.
I want you to just let the church know where you're going to be going back to, what God is, what you're going to be focusing on while you're there, and then how we can be praying for you in this time.
Well, thank you so much for welcoming me, us as a family, for the past 10 weeks. We've been here since May 17th, and it felt like coming back home with Edgewater. Everybody welcomed us, and it was just like in the old days. And we really appreciate your prayers, especially what Nicaragua is going through. And we're going to be back on September 1st, but we use the media, social media, to keep connected. We use it to edify, even though I know there's so many bad things about social media, but not for us who are trying to be disciples of Christ. We use it to edify, and I always kept in contact with most of the Edgewater people, even with the new people. And I really want to thank Pastor and all of you.
And how can we be praying for you?
Pray for strength, wisdom, and for peace in Nicaragua. And for the whole family to be always following Jesus.
Thank you. I'll let you actually go sit down, but I would encourage the folks that you can go sit down. The people that are around you, if you would mind maybe placing some hands on them, and we're going to take a moment and pray for you and ask God to bless you in the work that he's called you to in Nicaragua. All right, let's pray.
Father, each disciple of yours has the same command to make disciples as we go. To baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach others to obey your commands just as we are learning your commands. God, I ask that you would bless this dear family. Bless the Tams as they return to Nicaragua. Will you richly empower them? May their words be your words on their lips. Help them to further develop those relationships that they have already begun and can continue now. God, may they be a blessing to all whom they encounter. Lord, we pray fervently in the deepest parts of our heart for peace in Nicaragua. We pray for your church that is present there, going about your work in that part of the world. God, you desire that the whole world would come to know who you are in a real and personal way. And we pray that now. Will you bless them? Will you keep them safe? Will you prepare the way before them and prepare their hearts as well? For it is in your holy and precious name, O Lord, that we offer this prayer. Amen. In the words of that some of my ancestors, I'm sure, said many times, oofta, that should overwhelm us every single time. We're going to do something that we haven't done very often, and we're going to read our psalm together. And if you have a Bible, you can follow along. We are going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and we're going to be doing it back and forth. So I'll start out with verse 1, and then we're all going to read verse 2, and then we'll keep going back and forth all the way through this psalm. You know, these are words, but they're more than words. This is the Word of God. And these words are life and hope, and they can be words of healing for you. So let's do this together. I'll start out with verse 1, and then we'll alternate back and forth. Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows, and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne. From there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Father, will you open our hearts to hear your word, the word that you would speak to us today. Make us receptive. Remove our weaknesses, our resistances to what it is that you have for us. Make us be better disciples than when we walked through these doors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There are 171,476 English words in use today. I learned that from the Oxford English Dictionary, which lists all of them in 20 volumes. Now, these are just the words that we would use today. It doesn't include a lot of words that maybe have fallen out of favor. If we added up all the old words, all of the sub-words, we have about 250,000 words just in the English language. Yet despite all the words that we have, there are so many experiences, situations, things that are hard to describe. I've got a couple interesting examples for us this morning. How would you describe this experience? What word would you use to describe this? Now, if you are listening to the recording after the fact, you don't know what the picture is, but it's a picture of what? Nails on a chalkboard. A very similar sound would be like if you're sharpening a knife at home. I know my wife doesn't really like that sound. Or sometimes when you're using a knife on a plate and it makes that kind of scraping, screeching sound. What would be a word that captures this for you? You might learn a few new words today. Good words. Excruciating, hideous,
annoying.
Anything else?
Your teeth hurt.
Oh, I like that. Kind of medieval, like a like torture. Okay. Cringe. These are some of the definitions that apply to this situation. An unpleasant sensation, although that I think that's kind of weak. Shivering, aversion, disgust, uneasiness, and yes, creepy for some folks. Anyone know a word? Is there a word that captures this entire feeling completely? There is a word. It's not an English word. It's a Spanish word, and it's the word grima. This is a word sort of to describe this feeling of nails on a chalkboard, that feeling you get when you hear that. You know, not every language has words for every situation. Some of our Inuit brothers and sisters in the Covenant Church have dozens of words to describe snow, the type of snow. We might have two or three in the English language. Okay, what about this situation? I have another picture. Do you know that panicky feeling you get when you're with a group of people and someone walks up, recognizes you, and you're going to introduce them, and all of a sudden, you can't remember what their name is? Anybody experience that panicked feeling? Yeah, if you are alive, you probably have experienced that panicked feeling. There is not a word in English that really captures, at least Americanized English, but there is a word in Scottish, and it's the word tartle. Tartle. I call this the "Hey buddy, how are ya?" word. You know, you make up that sense when you're trying to introduce yourself or you're trying to rack your brain to remember, I know their name, it's on the tip of my tongue, and yet it's stuck there. Tartle. So you got a new word today. Here's a third word. This is a situation, and the definition of this picture is gazing vacantly into the distance without thinking. I call this word, which we'll see in just a minute, I zoned out on the highway, drove a few miles, and somehow didn't die word. There is a word, it's a Japanese word, and it's called boketo. You know that when you just look out, you look like you're looking. Sometimes you look at somebody and you're not really seeing them. You're thinking about absolutely nothing, or your wife or a significant other says, "What are you thinking about right now?" And you can honestly say, "Nothing. My mind is blank. I've totally zoned out." If that is you, then you are boketo. What about this last one? You know what this is, that sudden urge, and what you want to do right now is you just want to pinch those cheeks, and you want to squeeze them, and it's an overwhelming urge that destroys any self-control you might have, and you'd go up to a stranger's baby in this moment and just pinch their cheeks. What's the word? What's a word that would describe that? What? Crazy. Okay.
Obsession.
You know, there are actually many
restraining order.
You're not far off. Cheeky, cheeky. Maybe in today, some of you are not far off. There is not an appropriate English word that fully captures that feeling that I just got to pinch these cheeks, but there is a Filipino word, jijil. There's a Dutch word as well, which I learned but I didn't put up there, and it's the word that sometimes you'll hear Rebecca use, bull, bull, and you have to do this, right, when you're doing it. And there are many, many other experiences, situations that you encounter that we lack words for. Sometimes we have to borrow words. How do you describe the feeling of landing your very first fish? I heard an audible, ah. Oh. Maybe that's the word, ah. Oh. Your very first fish. How do you describe waking up in the hospital and realizing I'm not dead? What word would encapsulate that moment? His grace. Now, how do you describe the eternal, unshakable love of God that he has for you, that he has for me, that he has for this world and all creation? How do you describe that love that God has for a diverse group of people that he formed all from the dust of this earth? Psalm 103 is one of the best attempts to describe that love. It's one of the best. Let's take a look. There's a few words and images that this psalm uses to describe this really difficult concept. There's no word that completely encapsulates the love of God. Here's a few attempts, though. Verse 8, it says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful," or gracious, "slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." We sang this already this morning. We read it in the scripture, and now we hear it again. A description of God's love. Verse 11 says, "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth." Compassion is a word that is related, at least in the Bible, to the word womb. It's a type of image that is used in the Bible. It describes that tender love, kind of like an expectant mother would have for a child. But it's not a full picture. It's a piece of the puzzle. When we see the word unfailing, do you know that that is the same word from our psalm last week, Psalm 100? It describes God's relationship with those who put their trust in him. He's totally faithful, unfailing love. That word great, his love is beyond measure, as great or vast as the heavens are above the earth. You look up into the sky at night, once the smoke has cleared, and you're overwhelmed because you feel so small. As great as that is, that doesn't even begin to encapsulate the love of God for you. Try to measure that when you're looking up into the sky the next time. Verse 13 uses that same word, compassion, again, but this time uses a fatherly image, showing tender mercy to a child as they listen and obey. If you're a parent, you probably wish that this would happen all the time, or that you could display this kind of love at every moment when your child is driving you crazy. Verse 17, it says, "This love is forever, all time. You can count on it. It's not like the grass or the flowers or even the wind, all those things that we don't have a lot of right now, at least grass and flowers. We have too much wind. All of those things are fleeting, but not the love of God. It is forever, all time. Nothing can shake it, ever. Nothing that you do can shake it. Nothing that you'll do when you leave these walls can change that." even if you fight in the car on the way home. Or if you fought in the car on the way here, that was my family. This love even extends beyond you. Why would you want to stay faithful to the Lord? It says his love extends. His salvation extends to the children's children. Your faithfulness can have an impact far beyond you, just as you know that your sin can have an impact far beyond you. It can transform those whom you love most dearly through God's power to save. And yet, even as we read this, all of our words on their own are not sufficient. They're just little attempts to try to describe God's love. Love is that relationship God wants with you and wants for you. As you begin to open yourself to this relationship of love, you'll find that you start to receive more and more of what God promises in his word to all who love him, to all who continue to obey him. Whenever we see that word fear, the word that's sort of behind fear is not being afraid, it's obedience. It's having a reverent awe for God. It's knowing God is God and I am not. It puts us in our place. It doesn't mean we have to be afraid of God. We just have to know who we are and who God is. Verse 2 said, May I never forget the good things he does for me. There's a reason that this psalm starts out that way. We've said it before. It's because we are forgetful. It's not just an old thing, an old age thing. We are forgetful from the moment of our birth. We forget who really loves us time and time again. So I have a question for you this morning. What are a few of the good things you have received from God to date in your life? What are some of the good things you have already received?
Children.
The gift of children?
Life?
Health? In measures?
Yes.
Yeah. Forgiveness.
Faith.
Sight. I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Sight.
Sorry. My ears must be tight this morning. Thank you. Anyone else?
Community.
Community. Interesting.
Provision.
Relationship with him. If we took more time, we'd start to almost have a brainstorm of dozens and dozens more good things. You know, this psalm also lists some of those good things that you can experience when you respond to God's love. You begin to trust him. You believe that God can transform every part of you, every piece of you, even those pieces that you're afraid to share with anybody else. Can God transform that? Yes, he can. What are some of these good things? We're just going to highlight a couple of them this morning. Here's the first one. You can receive, and it was already mentioned, forgiveness and healing. Forgiveness and healing, isn't that a good thing or good things? Verse 3, the Lord forgives all your sins and heals you. Forgiveness is a word that means to strip off, to remove, or pardon. Your debt has been canceled. You don't owe the county that text check anymore. Actually, you do, but that's a little bit different. Healing means restoring you from what causes perishing. Those things that will cause you to die. Psalm 147 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Healing is a word that I think we could do a whole series on that. But just know this, restoration can include God healing you and curing you. There are those of you here who have not been cured physically. I know this because I live this with my wife, who is not physically cured of some of the things that she's had to deal with. And yet she has received healing in ways I cannot even begin to describe, even if God has chosen not to cure her. And that might be true for you too. You can be healed, even if what ails you remains. Healing is all-encompassing. It's so much bigger. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical restoration, all of the above. Here's an image of restoration, and I had to hunt around to find this picture. It did not exist digitally until yesterday, until I scanned it in. Some of you people, if you were on Facebook in this past week, you know that on Wednesday, Rebecca received a wonderful gift, being able to hold in trust a piano that is Beverly's piano. And she's been playing that piano so many hours over the last week. Our house has been filled with beautiful piano music. Here's a picture of our first piano. Back in October of 2001, in a thrift store in rural Mississippi, the town of Cary, population 294, plus us, 296, we found this piano in the store, thrift store. And it was a piano that had been sinned against. Someone had painted it pink. And Rebecca spent a whole summer stripping off all of that pink paint. And underneath was what the picture on the right. It's a little hard to see, but you can get a sense. It was this beautiful mahogany dark wood underneath. Now you know why it was a sin to paint that pink. And that picture for me is that image of forgiveness, where God, we ask for his forgiveness, our sins are stripped away, and you know what remains? Us, who it says we're created in the image and likeness of God. Do you know that every single human being has that image and likeness? Although some of it is marred more than others. You ask for forgiveness, he extends his love to you and strips away your sins and removes them how far? What do we sing? As far as the east is from the west, you are made new. His unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. This was a drawing that someone did based on this verse from Psalm 103, kind of picturing the distance and then using that image of the cross. Because this is true, instead of yesterday, which may be keeping some of you stuck, today you can be free and you can live healed to fully be who God created you to be. I believe that from the depths of my heart, but it's not just because I believe it, it's because God says so. Amen. And declares it to be so in his word. Forgiveness and healing. Second, when you respond to God's love, you can receive, or you do receive, eternal redemption. You might have a different phrase for that. Verse 4, he redeems you from death and crowns you with his unfailing love and tender mercy. That word redeem, it means to reclaim as one's own, to buy back, to recover, to release from bondage. When you respond to God's love, that's what happens. When you say, yes, I believe in you, Jesus, with all of my heart, this is what happens. Now, we may not feel all of it right at that moment. It's this process that we're in. The Lord wants to reclaim you. He created you. He made you. He wants to reclaim you because we've wandered away from him. He paid a price to get you back. We know what that price is. It's the price of Jesus' death on the cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead, what was defeated? Everything, sin, death, the devil. Jesus received that crown of victory. God was victorious in that moment. And it says, we get crowned by God with love, and we receive compassion. You can respond to God like this young artist did. She was drawing the words of Scripture. Praise the Lord, who crowns you with love and compassion. And it was a simple thing that she drew, and actually in the comments, this lady who drew this said, I didn't even really like it at the time. I didn't think it was a very good representation of what I can do. And yet it just expresses the simple truth. Praise the Lord, who crowns you with love and compassion. He rescues you from the pit of death. Some of you, quite literally, you were almost dead until Christ got a hold of you and you responded. And then God goes all in for you. What a gift. What amazing love that God's all in. He's only got one poker hand. It's all in every single time, if God played poker. I'm not sure. You can receive eternal redemption. Lastly, you can receive abundant blessing. Abundant blessing. Verse 5 says, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Some of you really want to experience that second part. When it says to be filled, that means to be satisfied. When's the last time you felt satisfied? To be filled can also mean ample or overflowing. These are all things that you receive from God's love. It's a hunger word. Like when you have that good filling meal and you just go, and then you go, bloop, in your belt, you got to loosen it a little bit. Micah 6:8 describes being filled with good things, what this looks like. It says to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And as we receive and give, we are able to be renewed. We have renewed endurance. Our strength is renewed like the eagle. We have vigor and life like that eagle, or like our kids' own kids probably right now. Lots of vigor in this moment. Hopefully, somewhat controlled. What an abundant blessing. And we could go on and on with all of the blessings, all of those good things that God has prepared, has already given you, and wants to give you. I know that many of you have already experienced this aspect, and I'm grateful for that. What do we really know then about God's unfailing love? On the back of your bulletin, I left the middle part of the title blank because there's so many different words that you could put in there. What's that word that you need to claim today? Perhaps it's that word unfailing. Perhaps it's another word to describe God's love. I left it blank so that you can fill that in with what God is speaking to you. Here's a bulletin board that someone put together just with some of the different aspects of God's love. They modeled it after a Scrabble game. These are actually large pieces of construction paper that they put together. It's a kind of art project based on their response to this psalm. What do we really know? We know God's love is without limit. It has no beginning. It has no end. It touches every part of life. We know we can count on it because God is trustworthy. He's reliable. He's never failed, and he never will. He is unchanging, and he's ready to receive you with open arms. We know that when it comes to God's love, there is no sin, no circumstance, no situation, pain, or pressure that you can experience that will keep you from God's love. You can always respond. He's that God of thousandth chances. Now, sometimes when you think about other people, you're like, man, I wish he didn't give so many chances. And then you turn the corner and you're like, man, I'm so glad he gave me another chance. If your life is falling apart today, if you're not sure why something is happening, know this, God is already there. He's there before you ever got to that point. And he's with you every step of the way, surrounding you with his love. We know that God's love is personal because God knows, if it says every hair on your head, or if you're bald, every hair maybe you used to have on your head, he knows you better than you know yourself. That's love. We know that we don't really deserve God's love. We know all of our imperfections, flaws, and sins, and yet God already knows all that about you and still loves you. Even when other people in your life don't really love you in that moment. He chooses to show mercy to you, and as we sang, he's slow to get angry, rich in love, ready to forgive our rebellious ways and begin a new start.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right now, in this moment, you have a decision once again to make whether you are a believer in Jesus Christ or not yet. You have a choice, an opportunity, a choice to listen to the voice of God speaking truth into your heart, saying, are you open and ready and willing to receive what I have to offer to you? Are you prepared for my love to transform you in ways you couldn't possibly imagine, in ways that maybe you don't even hope for? And even if you're sitting there honestly right now thinking, no, I'm not prepared. That's okay. Know this. God says, I understand. You are not alone. I am still here. I'm ready. I'm prepared, even if you're not. Why? Because I love you. It's not just for Scrabble. Although I'm not sure we're allowed to do phrases. But I like it anyways. And in that moment that you are finally able to hear those living words of hope and mercy and love, you can be born anew that very day. It wasn't just that first day that you said yes to Jesus. Today, all it takes, to look up, breathe deep. Receive his forgiveness, his healing, his compassion, his strength, his endurance. My friends, my hope for you today is that you're reminded once again from the words of the psalm. Maybe you want to read this over and over again this week. Be reminded of God's love for you. We can't be reminded enough. And as you're reminded, may we be able to respond like the psalm writer did. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Amen, my brothers and sisters, let's pray this morning. God our Father, praise your name. With our whole heart, we praise you and thank you. We pray now that your love would overwhelm our hearts, that you would break apart any resistance that we have within us. Will you illuminate our dark corners and allow our eyes to look upon you? Lord, forgive us. Heal us. Show us where we need to experience your love in this week to come. Show us where we can share your love this week. God, I pray for this group of people that you've gathered today. Strengthen them. Bless them abundantly. And most importantly, enable each person to be a blessing to this world. For Jesus' sake, we pray this in his powerful name. Amen. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8. May God bless you. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. You know, when it says this in number 6, it says, when these words are offered, God himself blesses you. May it be so. Amen.